Welcome to the Pearl of Great Price podcast. Thanks for joining us today. It's the 20th of May. And on this day in Christian history, we go back to the year 325. And we travel to ancient Greece. And nowadays, modern Turkey. Where today the famous Council of Nicaea opened. The first ecumenical council of the church. It is now famous for its Christian statement of belief that is widely used in liturgy. And an ecumenical council refers to a universal meeting of church leaders, in contrast to a local council. Because of its universal nature, it has a particular authority and can agree on decrees that concern faith or morals to which the whole church must adhere. Such decrees are often labelled as canons, often as a response to what is perceived as a widespread and growing heresy or false teaching. These canons have an attached anathema, a penalty of excommunication, against those who refuse to believe the teaching. And the Catholic Church continues to hold general councils of the bishops in full communion with the Pope, defining them as ecumenical. And in all, church historians would identify 21 councils as being ecumenical. Other Christian churches would consider earlier councils as ecumenical, but the widespread recognition would stop after divisive events which had led to large sections of the Christian community breaking communion, such as the Great Schism of the 11th century or the Reformations of the 16th century. There is a doctrine of the infallibility of ecumenical councils which is associated with this ecclesiology, gathering a universal body of recognised bishops. They have the authority to decide, for instance, what of the biblical books should be included in the canon of the New Testament. However, the infallibility of ecumenical councils is understood differently by the Eastern Orthodox and the Roman Catholic Church. The Catholic Church holds that solemn definitions of ecumenical councils meet the conditions of infallibility only when approved by the Pope, while the Orthodox Church holds that an ecumenical council in itself is infallible when pronouncing on a specific matter. Protestant churches would generally view ecumenical councils as fallible human institutions that have no more than a derived authority. And this authority would depend on the extent that they are understood to have correctly expounded Scripture. Mainstream Protestants, for instance, would consider that the first four councils are authoritative in regard to their dogmatic decisions. The First Council of Nicaea clarified four important matters of belief and authority. Firstly, it repudiated the Christological heresy of Arianism. That is, teaching that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is not co-eternal with God the Father, and is therefore distinct from and subordinated to the Father. Following on from this, secondly, it declared that Christ is homoousios with the Father, of the same substance of the Father, and adopted the original Nicene Creed, which is still recited publicly on a Sunday today in many churches. Thirdly, they fixed the date of Easter. And finally, they recognised the authority of the sees of Rome, Alexandria and Antioch outside their own civil provinces and granted the See of Jerusalem a position of honour. The creed in common usage now is sometimes more accurately called the Niceno-Constantinopolitan Creed, as it was slightly modified at the Second Ecumenical Council held 56 years later in Constantinople in the year 381. This creed is the only authoritative ecumenical statement of the Christian faith accepted currently by the Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, and much of Protestantism, including the Anglican Communion. Other widely used creeds, such as the Apostles' Creed and the Athanasian Creeds, are not as widely accepted. In the recently revised English translation of the Mass, the English-speaking Catholic community reverted to credo in Latin, I believe, in place of the plural form, we believe, which was used by the council. This brings them in line with the Orthodox Church's use of the text. I believe in one God. The text ends with anathemas against Arian propositions, preceded by the words, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. In the late 6th century, some Latin-speaking churches added the words, and from the Son, filioque, to the description of the procession of the Holy Spirit. In what many Eastern Orthodox Christians at a later stage argued is a violation, since the words were not included in the text by either the Council of Nicaea or that of Constantinople. And sadly, this became one of the main causes for the East-West Schism in 1054, and the failures of the repeated attempts to reunify. In 1995, the Vatican stated that the word filioque is not heretical when associated with the Latin verb procedo and the related word processio, which required the affirmation of the filioque to avoid the heresy of Arianism. That's all from the Pearl of Great Price today. Join us tomorrow if you can, as we look at a shocking attack on Michelangelo's Pietà by a disturbed geologist. I hope you've enjoyed listening. Please subscribe and leave a comment on the blog if you have time at www.pogp.net. And if you'd like to respond directly, then email the show on pogppod@gmail.com. Have a lovely day wherever you are, and thanks for listening.